Hello, and welcome to LEI's new podcast on game localization, Localize This. I'm Karen Skoog, and I'm the Game Localization Marketing Specialist at Language Automation Inc., or LEI for short. Today we'll be interviewing Ubisoft Montreal's localization project manager, Margarita Seconino, who has overseen the localization of many well-known brands, including Assassin's Creed and Prince of Persia. Before we dive into the interview, I'll tell you a little about what all we'll be doing on this podcast. Although game localization has been around for a long time, there is still a lot of mystery surrounding the process for those not directly involved in localization. We decided to start Localize This to provide a platform for discussing localization with people directly involved in the overall process, knowledgeable about global game markets, or otherwise engaged with games globally. A lot has changed since LAI started localizing games 20 years ago. Companies now localize games into many languages beyond Japanese and English, and more companies now understand the importance of quality localization. This means that we are seeing more games in which studios pay close attention to localization, such as in the Assassin's Creed series and Ni No Kuni, whereas gamers didn't see localization of nearly the same caliber on older consoles. There is also a lower barrier to entry for creating games than ever before, resulting in an enormous rise of game developers around the world, such as in Africa, the Middle East, Eastern Europe and Russia, Southeast Asia, and Latin America. In LEI's podcast, we look forward to bringing you closer to game development on a global level. We hope you enjoy our first episode. So today we have Margarita Seconino with us, the localization project manager at Ubisoft Montreal. We actually started working with Ubisoft back in 1999 on PS1 titles, and have since worked on Ubisoft games like Enchanted Arms and the Pet series. So it's great to have you here, Margarita, to learn more about your work managing the localization of Assassin's Creed and other titles.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
We also have with us our podcast producer, Michael Sunman.
Hey, what's up?
Some of you may be familiar with Michael as Gaijin Goomba on YouTube and Screw Attack. In his web show, he discusses cultural aspects of video games, with his latest web show taking on game localization challenges alongside our own hero, Laser. So in this first episode, Michael and I are going to trade off asking Margarita questions about her work at Ubisoft. So first of all, Margarita, can you explain a little bit about the games you've worked on and which languages you work with?
So in the past 4 years at Ubisoft, I had the opportunity to see the full production cycle of 3 different brands and 8 titles. I was lucky enough to start on a small-scale project like Shaun White's Snowboarding World Stage on a Wii. That was perfect to learn the production dynamics, the tools, and the systems specific to Ubisoft. World Stage had 6 languages, 5 of which fully localized. Next, it was Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands, which was a more complex project. 11 languages, over 5 platforms. The scope was very much manageable, but the quantity of localized audio, that was a challenge, since 7 out of 11 languages that were fully localized. Another Shaun White title followed, which is Snowboarding, and then Michael Jackson, The Experience. I had just started setting up the project when I was called to help on Brotherhood. AC Brotherhood. The project was already set up and ongoing, but there were still 2 months left before shipping, and I was asked to finish it. That was my turning point. Brotherhood was complex, really complex. If I checked the numbers, we had 214,000 words to localize, 115,400 of which were to record. And let me see, 12,500 files to record, over 300 characters and over 50 actors per language. Recordings, they were already ongoing, but there was so much to do still, and I won't lie, I had some help. After shipping Brotherhood, I continued on Assassin's Creed brand. So I was assigned to Assassin's Creed Revelation, which counted 16 languages, 6 of which fully localized. Then following Revelation, we had Assassin's Creed 3, which was the biggest in size and in scope. Checking my numbers again, we had 345 characters and over 55 actors per language. Wow, that was a lot. Languages that we had, well, you know, the classical figs, as we say, so French, Italian, German, and Spanish. We had our Scandinavian languages, Norwegian, Swedish, Danish. We had Dutch, We had our Eastern Europe languages, so Polish and Russian. We had Asian languages, Chinese, Korean, and Japanese, obviously. And then we added Brazilian, so Portuguese, Brazilian. We had also Portuguese from Portugal. And we started working on Arabic as well, which was quite a challenge. So we're still working on it, actually. Not so much for AC3, but you'll see.
Jeez, that sounds like a lot.
It was.
Oh, my. Okay, so can you explain the overall localization process and what you do day to day?
Sure. Well, the localization project is a process that is adapted to the project and the brand. We're now assigned to a project before alpha, so generally a year before we ship, and carry on until post-launch. On Revelation, I had the opportunity to set up my own process, which we then adapt on AC3, and it was then used on AC4 Black Flag. Of course, after each project, a postmortem is made, which sees the participation of all parties involved. During this process, we highlight all the action points, what went wrong, what went right, and then we apply the results on the subsequent project. When we set up the process, we follow the same steps as the rest of the dev team. So we have our own production, which is breaking down in pre-production, planning, vendor selections, tool startup, internationalization. Then we have a proper production part, which is translation, adaptation, and recordings. And then we have a post-production, which is testing and bug fixing. My team on site is composed by me, a localization technical specialist, and a localization dev tester. So we create sort of a trio of expertise. In a nutshell, I'm in charge of all management tasks, so planning, selection, recruiting, coordination with other project managers, while the technical specialist follows all the tasks related to hand-to-hand internationalization, assets manipulation, and core technical support. The dev tester instead provides a proactive QA expertise, so it gives support to our work directly in-game. My team offsite instead is very large. I need to optimize our effort, as you can imagine. I believe in selecting the best resources for the job and empowering them as much as possible. Therefore, at the startup, my time is dedicated in selecting the best talent the market has to offer. In the meantime, my on-site team and I start preparing the terrain for our work. We get to build interrelationships with the team that can help us build a retro planning that integrates those teams and ours together and set up our tools. We then start collecting enough solid information, and I want to really underline that solid information on the project scope, and then we prepare a kickoff meeting with our vendors to introduce them to the project. After that, our translation, adaptation, and recordings starts. We try to be physically located very close to the writers and the audio team so that we are able to know the progression of the script and the master recordings. At the same time, the technical specialists, we follow closely game level and mission designs on our various sites to ensure that we are informed of all in-game text creation and modification. The dev tester then becomes our eyes and ears in-game, coordinating the efforts with our functionality and localization teams prior, during, and after the testing. During the entire time, we're closely in contact with all our talents. I give them a planning deadlines, I provide them with all the assets they need, and ask them for the constant feedback. But I let them organize their work on their side to make it as painless as possible. My objective is to complete the project at the highest quality possible with the most reasonable effort. I don't like to waste anybody's time or anybody's money, so my job is to optimize the process.
That sounds great. So it sounds like you manage multiple localization teams around the world. So I was wondering what it's like working with multiple international teams on such huge projects and how the different teams fit together.
Well, it's a team effort. The only way to ship such a huge project is to give them sense to each and everyone's work and let them be creative. Everyone is empowered to give their best and each contribution is essential. This way everybody is on board, both production teams and vendors. Each person is an expert in their own field, so I let them do their job. Mine is to make sure that they have everything they need to be able to do theirs.
Sounds like a really big network. So has your approach or philosophy towards localization changed as you moved from a testing role to translating to project management and so on?
Oh, immensely. But I wouldn't say that it changed. I would say more that it changed because I finally managed to see behind the curtain of production. Now I can see the faces of all those mean production teams, the one that they didn't fix my bugs or they didn't give me enough context for a translation. I understand what's going on now, the how and the why. Production is a well-oiled machine. Everything is important, but timing is essential. Localization in the way it's done in Ubisoft, I love it. It's fantastic. We're not a service. We are a production. We take our place, we collaborate, and we execute like any other developer. The key in knowing that our requests for assets, information, or support need to become part of the process, need to make sense to them as well. But most importantly, they need to come from at the right time, presented in a certain way. You can't ask for a localized script, a look script, if the script is not finished yet. But you can probably start learning in which direction it's going, speak to the writers and voice director, and learn what the intentions are. Then you can start to work with your actors and have everyone ready when the script is ready. Of course, I leave nothing to chance. I'm very annoying in that way.
Well, Assassin's Creed has an enormous audio effort, and I'm sure our listeners would be interested in learning more about what all is involved on the audio side of localization, if you could talk about that process.
Oh, yeah, sure. Indeed, AC titles so far had a great deal of audio to record. Not only that, but Ubisoft strives to distribute to as many countries as possible, localizing audio for as many languages as possible. That adds to the challenge. It all starts with understanding the actual scope. Creativity is a back and forth process with a lot of what ifs and maybes. My job is to understand which of those are going to turn into actual work, without limiting or imposing on this creativity. See, content is the key to our games. We start simple with the actual script analysis. So most of the times, the script is like a draft at best when we begin. We get the game script content manager on board, which is an expert on a script analysis. And then we start getting the sense of the story, the characters and their lives. We talk to as many people as possible that are involved in the creative process. We talk to the voice designer, the creative director, the writers, and then we get all the pieces of the puzzle together, knowing that at any point at all, this might change. It's here that our expertise and experience comes in. We always start big, lots of ideas, lots of content, and then we clean, we cut, and we sharp the edges. In the meantime, we make also sure that we have tools in place to help us. Oasis is one of them. One of my colleagues presented at the GDC last year. Oasis is a blast. Our greatest ally organizes our scripts, AI voices and bards in a clean look and let us handle all those audio files in all languages at once. The best part is that it's developed internally so we can improve it as we go, exactly as our processes. Oasis allow us to keep track of changes in the script, ensure that they're all aligned and ready to be updated by our translators. Then we go to the actual adaptation for audio purposes. Of course, we need a skilled technical specialist to set it up in the right way. If wrongly used, it can become a very dangerous tool for the project. In the meantime, we take care of casting, which is carried out by individual vendors in their respective countries. We look for actors that could portray the idea that the writers had in mind, not a copy of the English voice. So sometimes we would have very different voice flavors in different countries. Voices follow on a proof of process where many people have their say, like our own production team, especially for French, or a Ubisoft representative in their respective countries. When the casting is good to go, then we start with the recordings. I give my vendors the start at the end point of the process, but I let them organize the session as it is more convenient for them. I ask them usually for 2-batch deliveries so that I can ensure the good progression of the recordings. Testing, which is supposedly to be the last part, well, is actually carried out throughout the project. We start with an English familiarization build to get the testers accustomed to the game, and then we work closely with functionality testers for build stability and smoke tests. And then we test localization only when we're ready. I ask my localization testers to focus on what they're paid for, which is localization quality, not to report functionality bugs. To do that, I need to make sure that the version they test are stable and content integrated. We're currently building an internal testing team to facilitate the build transfer, contain cost, and maximize quality.
Wow. Well, let me ask something kind of specific.
Sure, go ahead.
What were some of the challenges in voice acting the Native American characters in Assassin's Creed 3, such as finding the voice talent?
Well, that's a fun question. Assassin's Creed, the main production team, is located in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. So not far from our studio, there are several Iroquois villages. We found talented actors that agreed to work with us if we agreed to ensure 100% authenticity of their image, the image that we portrayed of them. So we hired a Mohawk coach that helped us with the language bits when introducing the master dialogue. The challenge for localization was to ensure that their use of the Mohawk lines wouldn't sound too off from the voices of the actors that we selected in the localized language. The Mohawk intonation for Connor, for example, was much paced and clean, while the actor portraying Connor in Italian was very coarse and strong. So we had to retake some of the dialogues before and after the parts where Connor speaks in Mohawk to ensure smoothness. In Japanese instead, having Mohawk lines spoken before or after Japanese voices, well, it seems really odd. So for the most part, the Japanese team decided to re-record all those lines in Japanese. But when we're trying to integrate the line in game, we encounter several technical difficulties. The system was set up to automatically play the master line in all languages and ignore the localized one. Well, we managed to find a compromise.
That's very interesting. What have been the largest hurdles or concerns in localizing Assassin's Creed games? And what do you believe is the biggest hurdle in the localization process in general?
Well, tight schedule. That seems to be the classical hurdle for all the projects everywhere. But we're used to, you know, we know how to organize ourselves now without sacrificing quality or mental health. The order in which the sequences are developed, well, that was quite a challenge. See, at Ubisoft, we have an internal studio to do mocap and mocam, so all important scenes are done with them to give more depth and emotion to the cutscenes. That means that those are worked on first. But translating sequences by importance instead of chronological order, that's very complicated. We did a complex work of prioritizing and updating, but we ensured that the translator's work was always maximized. Translating for recordings is always a challenge as well. Constraints are horrible. The style to use is very demanding, like translating using the terms of a specific era without sounding too archaic. And the pressure of the deadlines, that's quite intense. Many master lines were re-recorded in ADR, so when the actors re-record and synchronize audio segments, that caused a lot of small syncs issues for us. But we knew that they would happen, so we prepared with a schedule for some quality takes. Constant changes are another big hurdle, more so for text that has been already recorded. Imagine you just managed to have that actor re-record those 500 lines and now a line has changed. The workaround to fix those type of problems are quite creative.
Guess they'd have to be.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us, Margarita. We really appreciate having you on the show.
That has pleasure for me. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners would like to make suggestions for future episodes, feel free to send us a tweet at Language Auto Inc. or find us on Facebook. Until next time.